This recording is provided by the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people with visual, physical, learning, language, or other disabilities and conditions that prevent them from reading printed materials.
No name is more trusted than Consumer Reports. Their independent testers examine hundreds of everyday products to help you get the best value for your consumer dollar. Join us for Consumer Reports now on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Consumer Reports, and I'm your reader, Lori, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from May-June issue, copyright 2026, by Consumer Reports Incorporated. And now, I'll begin with CR's Guide to Popular Supplements. The January-February 2026 cover story, CR's Guide to Popular Supplements, offered advice on the safest and most effective choices. Readers shared their thoughts on it and other articles from that issue and the November-December 2025 one. Read our responses here. Melatonin, one of the supplements you covered, has been in the news because the American Heart Association presented information about possible side effects that can cause heart failure. I realize that this is not a full-blown study with peer review. Do you have further insight? At a November meeting of AHA, researchers shared an analysis of more than 100,000 health records that found that people who took melatonin long-term had a higher risk of heart failure. Over a 5-year period, that condition occurred in 4.6% of melatonin users versus 2.7% of a control group. While this analysis, which, as you point out, has been presented but not yet published or peer-reviewed, is a good reminder that we need more data on the safety of taking melatonin long-term. It has some serious limitations. First, though, both groups in the study had a diagnosis of insomnia. It's possible it was more severe among people who were taking melatonin. And second, the analysis only counted people with a prescription for melatonin as melatonin users. Melatonin requires a prescription in the UK and many other countries, but not in the US. This muddied the international data quite a bit. What is the value and effectiveness of supplements purported to help memory and brain health, such as Prevagen, Nuriva, and others? I have read that their effectiveness is largely unproved. Unless I'm mistaken, the public should save its money. Instead, tend to routines like regular exercise, a healthy diet, and adequate sleep, proven contributors to mind health and cardiovascular well-being. You're absolutely correct. Getting enough sleep, exercising regularly, and eating a healthy diet are three of the most important things you can do to help keep your mind sharp. Most of the supplements we've seen advertised as helpful for memory and brain health have scant evidence to support those claims. We agree, save your money. I will now read an article, How Much Caffeine is in Your Coffee? Coffee tastes great, boosts alertness, and can even benefit your heart and brain. But too much caffeine, more than 400 milligrams a day, per the Food and Drug Administration, can lead to jitters, sleep troubles, headache, upset stomach, and more. That's why it's smart to know how much you're getting in each cup. Unfortunately, it can be hard to tell. Packaged coffees generally don't list their caffeine content on the label. When CR tested several coffees from supermarkets drip brewed with 2 tablespoons per 8 ounces of water and coffee shops using the average of 3 samples of each to-go coffee, we found that caffeine levels vary dramatically. Having roughly 2 12-ounce mugs at home or 1 20-ounce to-go cup of some coffees can push you well over your daily caffeine limit. And American coffee drinkers consume an average of 24 ounces a day, according to a 2025 National Coffee Association survey. The caffeine in 2 mugs, 24 ounces of packaged ground coffee. Cafe Bustella, 524 milligrams of their espresso ground coffee. Green Mountain Coffee Roasters, caramel, vanilla cream, 420 milligrams. Bones Coffee Company, Highland Grog, butterscotch and caramel, 406 milligrams. Good and Gather, caramel macchiato, 400 milligrams. Dunkin', blueberry muffin, 397 milligrams. Cameron's breakfast blend ground light roast, 368 milligrams. Starbucks Veranda blend, 361 milligrams. Maxwell House breakfast blend, 338 milligrams. Pete's Coffee Major Dickinson's blend, 311 milligrams. Starbucks Pike Place Roast, 277 milligrams. Black Rifle Coffee Company Blackbird's Delight, 236 milligrams. Popular to-go coffees. Pete's Coffee Major Dickinson Blend, 468 milligrams. These are typically in large 20-ounce cup size. Starbucks Pike Place Medium Roast, 414 milligrams. McCafe Premium Roast, 295 milligrams. And Dunkin' Original Blend Medium Roast, 291 milligrams. Our next topic is cars. Nothing takes the shine off a new car faster than repeated trips back to the dealer for repairs. It's frustrating, it's inconvenient, and once the warranty period ends, it's expensive. That's why we tell shoppers to prioritize dependability, using our predicted reliability ratings as a guide. To inform our ratings, CR members share detailed reports about the problems they had with their vehicles in the previous 12 months. We have data on about 380,000 vehicles, enough to predict reliability for nearly every new car, truck, and SUV on the market. For 2026, 3 brands top our ratings: Lexus, Subaru, and Toyota. Each is a great place to start your search, but you have plenty of options. Here's what else to know. Why some brands are more dependable. As our brand reliability chart shows, Asia-based automakers continue to lead the industry in reliability. This year, they account for 7 of the 10 most reliable brands. European automakers rank second, but BMW is the only brand in the top 10. Domestic U.S. brands trail both Asia and Europe with an average score of 41 out of 100. The highest scoring U.S.-based manufacturer is Buick, in eighth place. Tesla is now the second highest U.S. brand and is in the top 10 overall. The five lowest scoring brands for reliability are domestic: Chrysler, GMC, Jeep, Ram, and Rivian. But grouping brands by their headquarters location is somewhat misleading. Many European and Asian car makers build cars in the U.S., while domestic models are sometimes built overseas. Of the 10 most reliable models in our survey, all from brands headquartered in Asia, six are built in the U.S., three in Japan, and one in Mexico. Those seven built in North America also use parts primarily from North American suppliers. Where the vehicles are built and who assembled those thousands of parts aren't the deciding factors. Dependable vehicles are the result of an automaker's processes and investments, as well as factors like the powertrain and whether a model is brand new. Hybrids remain reliable. You might expect hybrid vehicles to have problems. Pairing a gas engine with an electric motor and battery makes a car more complex than models with just an internal combustion engine. But the majority of hybrids in this year's survey have average or better reliability. By now, automakers such as Hyundai, Kia, and Toyota have been building hybrids for years, and it shows. In many cases, the hybrid version of a model is just as reliable as the gas-only version, if not more so. Hybrids also get better fuel economy and often drive better than the gas-only versions. Put it all together, and it's no surprise that hybrids often score higher than their gas-only counterparts in our road tests. This year, the Ford F-150 Hybrid, Kia Carnival Hybrid, and Toyota Grand Highlander Hybrid have the best reliability of their respective categories. The Honda CR-V Hybrid, Lexus NX Hybrid, and Subaru Forester Hybrid are almost as good. The least reliable models in 13 of the brands in our rankings are either electric vehicles or plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. Both use comparatively newer technologies than the engines and batteries in regular hybrids. Our data shows that the plug-in hybrid electric versions of models tend to have worse reliability than the gas-only and/or hybrid versions. This includes the plug-in hybrid electric versions of the BMW X5, Ford Escape, Kia Sportage, Lexus NX, Lincoln Corsair, Toyota Prius, and Volvo XC60. Many EV and PHEV problems come from sharing new designs and components across different vehicles. For example, Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis EVs share a critical electrical component that has been causing reliability problems for owners. It continues to plague the hybrid IONIQ 5 and Kia EV6 with Genesis GV60 and IONIQ 6 owners also reporting problems. General Motors EVs are suffering a similar fate. Many models built on GM's Ultium EV platform have below or well below average reliability, including the Cadillac Lyriq and Optiq, the Chevy Blazer EV, and the Honda Prologue, which uses GM technology. Both Lucid and Rivian continue to struggle to produce reliable vehicles. These EV-only automakers are relatively new to the market and continue to face challenges with build quality, EV batteries, electric motors, and the climate system. Meanwhile, Tesla has made the biggest improvement in our rankings. The Model 3 is the most reliable electric car in our survey, and the Model Y is both the most reliable electric SUV and the most reliable EV overall. Additional credit goes to Tesla's Model 5, Model S sedan, and Model X SUV, which have average reliability. Mazda's dependability drops. The Japanese automaker fell from its top ranking to mid-pack. What's behind this year's largest drop? For one thing, the consistently reliable CX-5 compact SUV has been redesigned and therefore isn't included in our 2026 reliability ratings. Another reason, instead of conservatively reusing existing platforms or powertrains, the CX-70 and the CX-90 use a newer engine, transmission, and rear-wheel drive-based platform. Both models are available on PHEVs, the automaker's first. The result is a continuation of the problems observed in last year's survey, including EV battery and EV motor issues for the PHEVs. All these SUVs score below or well below average. The CX-70 and the CX-90 are just two examples of why our experts advise against buying the first or second year of an all-new or redesigned model. Mazda's legacy models scored well, with the Mazda 3 sedan and the hatchback rating above average, while the CX-30, CX-50, and CX-50 hybrid SUVs scored average. How the brands stack up. Choosing a model from one of the top 10 brands in this chart can help narrow your choices, but be sure to research the reliability of any specific model before buying. 1. Toyota, reliability score 66. 2. Subaru, reliability score 63. Lexus 3, reliability score 60. Number 4, Honda, reliability score 59. Number 5, BMW, reliability score 58. Number 6, Nissan, reliability score 57. Number 7, Acura, reliability score 54. Number 8, Buick, reliability score 51. Number 9, Tesla, reliability score 50. Number 10, Kia, reliability score 49. Number 11, Ford, reliability score 48. Number 12, Hyundai, reliability score 48. Number 13, Audi, reliability score 44. Number 14, Mazda, reliability score 43. Number 15, Volvo, reliability score 42. Number 16, Volkswagen, reliability score 42. Number 17, Chevrolet, reliability score 42. Number 18, Cadillac, reliability score 41. Number 19, Mercedes-Benz, reliability score 41. Number 20, Lincoln, reliability score 40. Number 21, Genesis, reliability score 33. Number 22, Chrysler, reliability score 31. Number 23, GMC, reliability score 31. Number 24, Jeep, reliability score 28. Number 25, Ram, reliability score 26. And number 26, Rivian, reliability score 24. The most reliable subcompact SUV, Toyota Corolla Cross. The reliability score, 79. The least reliable was the Volkswagen Taos with a reliability score of 29. Compact SUV, the most reliable, Hyundai Tucson. Reliability score, 67. Least reliable, Chevy Equinox GMC Terrain, reliability score of 17. Mid-sized two-row SUV, most reliable, Honda Passport, reliability score 97. Least reliable, Jeep Wrangler, reliability score 26. Mid-sized three-row SUV, most reliable, Toyota Grand Highlander Hybrid, reliability score of 73. Least reliable, GMC Acadia, reliability score 14. Luxury small SUV, most reliable, Lexus NX, reliability score 71. Least reliable, Genesis GV70, reliability score of 31. Luxury mid-sized SUV, most reliable, Porsche Cayenne, reliability score of 71. Least reliable, the Genesis GV80, reliability score 29. Small car, most reliable, Subaru Impreza, reliability score 80. Least reliable, Volkswagen Jetta, reliability score of 36. Mid-sized pickup, most reliable, Toyota Tacoma, reliability score 74. Least reliable, Chevy Colorado, GMC Canyon, reliability score of 29. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Lori with Consumer Reports. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library.
You are listening to Audio Journal, part of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Thanks for listening. We have more programming coming up next.
And now, Medical Myths and Facts with Dr. Richard Curtis.
Hantavirus is in the news. Yet another exotic virus capable of high rates of morbidity and mortality. Hantavirus is a rare but potentially very serious viral infection carried primarily by rodents. Humans usually become infected not from other people, but from exposure to rodent urine, saliva, or droppings, especially when contaminated dust becomes airborne. In the United States, the main carrier is the deer mouse. Now, most Americans have probably never heard of hantavirus until recently, when a highly unusual outbreak occurred aboard the luxury expedition cruise ship MV Hondius. In 2026, several passengers aboard the MV Hondius developed severe respiratory illness linked to hantavirus after a voyage connected to South America and Antarctic regions. Multiple deaths occurred, and passengers from more than 20 countries required evacuation, monitoring, and quarantine measures coordinated internationally. What made this especially important medically is that investigators suspected the Andes strain of hantavirus, one of the few forms known to allow limited person-to-person transmission under close contact conditions. Fortunately, experts emphasize this is not another COVID-like virus. Human-to-human transmission of hantavirus remains extremely uncommon. The outbreak drew global attention partly because hantavirus is ordinarily so rare in the United States. In fact, since surveillance began in 1993, the CDC has documented fewer than 900 confirmed U.S. cases total. Most years, the United States sees only a few dozen cases nationwide. By comparison, in the years 24 and 25, there were 16 million COVID illnesses in the United States, and as many as 50,000 deaths. In the United States, cases occur mainly in western states, such as New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, California, and Nevada. The classic exposure is not luxury travel, it is cleaning. Cabins, sheds, garages, barns, campsites where rodents have been present. One important teaching point is that sweeping or vacuuming rodent droppings can aerosolize viral particles and increase risk. Early symptoms tend to be nonspecific and can resemble flu or COVID: fever, muscle aches, fatigue, headache, nausea. Then in severe cases, patients can rapidly progress to cough, shortness of breath, pulmonary edema, shock, respiratory failure, and death. That rapid deterioration is what makes hantavirus pulmonary syndrome particularly feared. Although uncommon, hantavirus pulmonary syndrome carries a mortality rate historically around 30-40% in severe reported U.S. cases. There is no clearly proven antiviral therapy for advanced disease. Treatment is mainly supportive: oxygen, intensive care unit monitoring, mechanical ventilation, occasionally ECMO. Public health recommendations focus on rodent control and safe cleanup. Ventilate enclosed spaces before cleaning. Wear gloves and preferably an N95 mask. Spray disinfectant before wiping droppings. Avoid dry sweeping or vacuuming contaminated areas. The recent cruise ship outbreak reminded the world that zoonotic infections can still emerge unexpectedly, even in modern luxury travel settings. But the broader lesson is that hantavirus remains rare, geographically concentrated, and largely preventable through awareness of rodent exposure and proper cleanup precautions.
Good morning.